Hi there, I'm Jimmy. Thanks for tuning into the show. If you like what you're about to hear, you can get the full experience and see the video on YouTube in the description with this episode. And you can always find more episodes and activities waiting for you at dwaba.org.
Chat, I'm really excited.
We have a pretty cool guest coming on next that we are so excited that we landed. This is going to be an awesome interview.
It really is. You know what I really like? We focus on this show not just on the scientists and the researchers behind the bones, because we'd love to go into that. And every paleontologist that we've spoken to has just been so insightful and so great. But we realize that the impact of dinosaurs is not just on the scientific side of it. It also branches out into the creative. And so we've got someone really awesome lined up tonight that we're going to get a chance to talk to. Have you seen the work of the movie poster guy?
Movie poster guy is incredible. His stuff is so cool. You know, creators and artists are so important to the field of paleontology because without them, we would just be looking at a bunch of blank pieces of paper with black ink on it, telling us about dinosaurs. And it's really about creators and artists who bring these things to life. And nobody does it better than our next guest.
I'm so excited. We're going to get a chance to talk with the movie poster guy, also known as Neems. Hey!
Hello!
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we are wonderful.
We are so great.
Good. I'm so glad that I'm on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for making the time to chat with us.
I'll be in Hawaii next week, so that's exciting.
You'll be in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the Kualoa Ranch?
I am for the first time.
Oh my God. That's going to be so great. Right?
See, we should have been talking to you after you came back, and then you could have talked about that experience.
I know, right?
Well, we're just going to have a great follow-up then is what that's going to be. There's going to be a round two.
Well, if we wanted to do a live after you come back.
Let's do that. Why not? That'd be great.
It's fantastic. Our guest for today deserves every possible introduction, but the rest of the internet already knows who you are. He is an artist. He's a graphic designer. He's a philanthropist. He is a huge Jurassic fan. And he's known around the world by one name, Neems.
I guess that's me. Hey, that's everybody. Right.
The first question that we have to answer is the most important question, which is, Neems, the movie poster guy, what's your favorite dinosaur?
My favorite dinosaur, and this question is so hard for me because I feel so lame. Because first of all, I don't even know the name of my favorite dinosaur. That's horrible. There's an action figure that I love that Mattel makes that I can't remember what it is. It's like red and it has the one horn on the front. I always forget
Ceratus?
The name. It's in Jurassic
One horn.
Part 3.
Ceratosaurus.
The poop scene.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. And then
of course he has one right there.
Tyrannosaurus. Yes, that one right there. Isn't it crazy? That's my favorite dinosaur and I don't even know the name. That's how bad I am. But
it's
such
an amazing dinosaur.
I think that's a great dinosaur. And then I also love the Tyrannosaurus Rex too. So two baddies.
I believe in the that's poop awesome. Scene in the movie, it wasn't actually supposed to be a Ceratosaurus. I believe it was supposed to be a Carnotaurus.
Yes.
I heard that recently in the Jurassic World gossip. So
yeah.
Yeah, Ceratosaurus is a cool dinosaur. I'll give you props for that one.
It's nice to see it come back in Camp Cretaceous as well.
Yeah, and when it made its appearance in Camp Cretaceous, I was very excited. So I was like, oh my God, there it is again. So it's pretty cool that it's getting more screen time.
There was a really great meme that came out around that same time, which is like, if I had a nickel for every time a Ceratosaurus was being super chill, I would have 10 cents. Which isn't a lot of money, but I'm surprised it happened twice.
Yeah.
So why Ceratosaurus? What makes that one really stand out to you?
Honestly, I think it's because it's not a huge dinosaur, but it's still kind of scary. And it doesn't have two horns. It has one, but it's like on the tip of its like snout type thing. It's just like a different, you know, there's a lot of like herbivores and a lot of, you know, meat-eating dinosaurs that all kind of look the same, but this guy looks just a little bit different than the rest. So I feel like it's kind of cool. And I love the way that Mattel does their color combos. And I think even when Hasbro made their figure, it kind of looks similar to the Mattel one. So, but I just love the way that they do their color combo. I'm a color person, so like it all goes kind of get together. I'm just weird like that.
No, you have that really great artistic eye. And so it absolutely makes perfect sense that when you look at something, you want to see something that's aesthetic. It's got like tiger stripes almost. But
I love that tiger stripe one, actually, for the little, what is it, the mini action dinos?
The little minis?
I wish they made a bigger version of that one, because that would be really cool.
Well, that's where Ted Brothers comes in, and then all the repaint videos. Yeah.
Favorite was Ceratosaurus, because I have the Papo Ceratosaurus that is also really nicely painted.
Yes.
I like how
that one is done really well.
On the lips. That was really, really, really well done.
Smaller than I expected it was going to be, but still great, great toy.
Yeah, they usually make really good figures.
For people who are familiar with your work as the movie poster guy, but might not be familiar with the man behind the posters, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, anything, any special projects that you have on the horizon?
My real name is actually Nima, but for years and years I've been called Neems. That's what my license plate is. That's what my Instagram name is. Like, everybody just has called me Neems for some reason. I just ran with it. I do marketing and I do social and all this other kind of stuff for actually a real estate company. I don't deal with real estate agents. I don't do any of that. I actually do it for the actual company itself, for their, like, to get more people to join and all that kind of thing. And then I also do events. And then I also do, obviously, movie posters. So graphic design and all that kind of stuff, too. So that's what I went to college for. And that's why I do a lot of, like, different weird Jurassic marketing movie poster graphic campaigns as well, because it kind of goes hand in hand, type thing. So I love that kind of stuff.
One of my favorite pictures on your social media is a picture of young Nima holding up a little Jurassic Park toy, and you've got the biggest grin on your face, and you've got the Jurassic Park merch that you're wearing. What is your dinosaur origin story? How did your love and passion of dinosaurs start? Does it start with that picture?
No, and it starts way before that picture. It starts
This is the photo you're talking about.
That is a photo, yes. That's 1997. That was my 7th birthday. But my Jurassic Park story, or my dinosaur story, started back in 1993. When the movie came out on VHS, and I was in a Kmart with my mom, and I was probably 3.5 at the time, and I remember this clearly, and I don't know why I remember it perfectly, but I think it's just because it's so important to me. I walk up to the kiosk, I pick up the Jurassic Park VHS that was in one of those standy things that we've all now seen on eBay and everything, but I picked it up and I was like, Mom, I want this movie. And I remember seeing the back with, you know, Sam Neill on the back. I remember it very, very vividly. And I don't think my mom knew what Jurassic Park was, because she wasn't like, oh, no, that's too scary for you. She was like, okay. Like, because I think I watched Land Before Time before that. And she thought, oh, okay, like dinosaurs, Steven Spielberg. Okay, I'll get this. And then I remember I watched it for the first time with my dad. My mom went out to like some party or something like that, and it was just me and my dad at home, and we popped it in, and I was not scared at all. And he said, this movie's a little crazy, and I was like glued to the screen. And then when The Lost World came out, I was scared to death. There was a huge switch. I think it's because when I was 7 years old, I understood that these people are actually in danger. Whereas in 1993, I was like, oh, this is amazing. There's dinosaurs and loud noises. I love it. And so when The Lost World came about, I was just like, this is terrifying. I remember going to see it in the theater at the Irvine Spectrum over here. And I remember every Jurassic moment that I've had, I remember it like clear as day, which is really odd, because other things, like if you ask me what I had for lunch yesterday, I can't tell you. So.
Chili and sea bass, I believe.
good one.
That's so
was
amazing.
It the VHS? Was That's it in so 3D? Amazing. Original 3D? Did you get the glasses as well?
Oh, is that a thing? No, my original VHS was just a old school VHS.
I remember when my parents bought the original Jurassic Park, they came with the 3D glasses and you could see the T-Rex kind of like moving 3D-ish around.
I think that was a lot. That's the Lost World, I think, right?
Was it?
The Lost World VHS box had that lenticular thing, which I wanted to ask you about because I feel like that might be, was that an influence for some of your designs? But I got to go back. In Canada, did you have a 3D version of Jurassic Park before the rest of the world did?
I thought we did. I remember it quite clearly.
I think that might be the Lost World.
Okay, you might be right. I was little, and maybe my memory isn't as vivid as yours. I do remember seeing Jurassic Park 3 in theaters, though, and I remember it being so packed, and everybody was worried that I'd be scared, and I was just glued to the screen because it's Spinosaurus, and this was like, I'm so excited. Yeah.
So good. So many memories, too. It's good stuff.
All I'm going to think about now is that there is a hidden 3D version of Jurassic Park on VHS.
Maybe you had the only copy, and it was signed by Steven Spielberg, and now it's missing. So
because it came with the glasses. If it came with glasses, that means that there's something legitimate to this mystery, and we're going to get to the bottom of this cat. This conversation is not over, but I'm going to defer back to
my parents still have it. It's still in there at their cabin because we still watch VHSs at the cabin, so I know it's still out there. I'll find it for you,
Jimmy.
Okay.
Oh, that is one fossil that we're going to have to mark on. Right away. Fantastic. So the Lost World VHS cover was amazing because Lost World, all of their design stuff was really cool. I had the CD that popped out and you had a whole three-dimensional scene with like the T-Rex and the Parasaurolophus. It was like a pop-up book. And then the lenticular visibility on the front of the VHS with that moving T-Rex picture. That's something that really resonated with me when I first saw it. But for someone who's taken this and now turned it into this really elaborate design, was that something that was kind of like an influence for you?
Honestly, I think, first of all, I lost that lenticular card, so I have no idea where it is. I think I lost it within like the first week I bought the VHS.
Oh, no.
It's really sad. You could like slide it out type thing. And when you slid it out, it showed the logo behind it. But I think that VHS cover, I'm trying to think what was my biggest like inspiration, like Jurassic wise. I think it's a mixture of a lot. It's not just, you know, that cover. It's not, I love the original poster. That looks like the old school, like Batman poster back from like 1988 or 1989 or something like that.
Yeah.
Logo. But there's so many aspects to Jurassic Park and Jurassic World where like park feels more red and world feels more blue. And, it's all about foliage for me, like where those palms come in. And I always forget that type of plant that Sarah Harding rubs against with her bloody vest type thing, that same kind of tropical plant. Those kind of things always remind me of Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, whatever it is. But like I said, more red for park, more blue for world. And I think the marketing people at Universal really tried to differentiate the two, but then also, you know, keep it in the same family. So I think that's where a lot of my inspiration comes from, is a little bit of everything.
And noticing those subtleties. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how everything changes now that they're bringing back the original crew, to see maybe if they're going to try and appease the fans a little bit more, like some of the diehard original fans, to get more of that in. Because I know that there's a lot of people that really, really, there's a divide. There's the people who love the classics, and there's the people who love the new ones.
And I think that
sometimes
I think they've already started with that, with the amber looking kind of thing, where the logo on the Dominion poster is more yellow as opposed to red and blue. It's like warm. So I think maybe they'll go into that realm of amber colors, because obviously amber in the original Jurassic Park was the whole reason why there's dinosaurs in these movies anyways. So I think they might be going towards something like that. So we'll see how that all, because it's on that teaser poster. So I'm wondering if the actual logo and all the colors and everything will be like that too. So we'll see.
Speaking of that particular announcement, when they were showing that they brought everything back, you actually dropped that announcement. You led to the initial world reveal of the original trilogy coming back into it. And it was an astounding moment. Can you tell me about that? What that was like?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of funny because that whole day was very interesting because it was in LA, which was at the ArcLight. But I loved that whole day because I got there and Colin Trevorrow just like showed up. You know, he parked his car and he walked in from the parking structure. And I was just like, look, it's Colin. And nobody like said anything or whatever. And it was just like kicking out. And I went over and shook his hand. Him and I have talked before because I had made the poster for Fallen Kingdom. And he interacted with me on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So he obviously knew who I was, which is amazing. And then it came to question time.
Will we see any older characters in the third film? Like from one or two or even three?
Well, I would be honored to work with any of those actors again.
Everybody thought like Colin told Nima or someone told Nima to ask this question to get it out there type thing. And that's not the case. Like, I swear on my life, like, on my, like, parents' life, on whatever it is, nobody said, ask this at this time because we need to get, you know, this person out type thing.
Absolutely. One of my favorite actors in the world is going to be in this movie. She also happens to have been in Jurassic Park. And she's here right now. Laura Dern.
What? What?
I literally just asked the question that I had on my mind because I was dying to know, and that's what happened.
I love dinosaurs. I love that you love them like we do, and it's not asking too much. If I'm gonna get to join this party again, I would hate to not bring my friend Samuel and Dr. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it, guys. You heard it here first.
So I think I got my answer, which was great.
Yeah, you certainly did. I would have screamed. I wouldn't have been angry if you screamed.
I mean, Ellie Sattler is my favorite character. So, I mean, if you were going to ask that question at any point, Ellie Sattler is my favorite character, followed by Alan Grant, followed by Sarah Harding. And then it goes to Ian Malcolm and then all the rest. But I'm like, I have a very sweet spot for Claire too. So it's like, it's hard to choose your favorites because it depends on the day. Just like if someone asked me, what's your favorite one? Like, what's your favorite movie? And it honestly depends on.
That was going to be my next question. It was going to be, which of the Jurassic Park series do you like the most? And I think it's really hard to steer away from the first one. The first one is iconic and wonderful. And it's my favorite. But then, of course, how could I deny. I mean, you know,
it's that time again.
We're gonna do the
I actually spray painted that T-Rex gold, the one that you have in your hand.
Oh, did you really?
And it led
you did not have a gold spray painted T-Rex. I have one too. It's in my living room.
And my office, when I first started working for my company, they noticed I had a gold T-Rex on my desk all the time. They obviously knew I liked Jurassic Park. And obviously, we created like a store for all of our merch for our company. And there's a huge T-Rex skull now there that's spray painted gold. And it's not, I don't know if it's because of me or if it's just some like, I don't know. It's to make it look kind of funky type thing. And it makes me happy that we have a huge bust, like a T-Rex like head, but
that
it's just
so
gold.
Is it, how big is this thing? Is it life sized?
It's bigger than my head. So it's like,
okay, that's still pretty impressive.
Etsy, actually, I think it's on Etsy.
So it's awesome. An Albertosaurus sized T-Rex skull, but it's all good.
But it's all cool. My dream.
So what? One of the first introduction that I had to your work was actually through Fandango, because you had the poster for Fallen Kingdom, and if you order the ticket through Fandango, they actually got a print of your poster that would be sent out to someone who purchased it. 99% of the people who did that got it. I did that whole thing. It never showed up. They never sent me the poster. So it was so close.
No, that's terrible. Oh my gosh.
It's all good. Oh, well, I mean, you don't feel like you have to, but I'll get my address in about 15 minutes. What led to that? How did that happen? to be the official Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom poster that would go out to the masses minus one.
Honestly, that whole portion of my life is so blurry to me because it's like, it's still not real to me because, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, be a part of Jurassic somehow, whether it's, I don't know, the Jurassic Park, Jurassic World account tweeting a picture of me with a dinosaur. I don't care where, what, how I could be a part of it, but I never thought it would be like that, you know? And so it started with Colin Trevorrow and J.A. Bayona tweeting, like I was making all those fan posters based off of like the trailers. So I would like take an image from the trailer and then make it all epic and different, you know, a little bit more posterized. And I think I made one right after the first trailer dropped. I think it was during the Super Bowl. And it was that first trailer where the first time we ever saw the Rex, you know, roaring on in Hawaii, you know, that shot where the gyrosphere is there and Owen's looking up at the T-Rex. And I took that and in like 4 or 5 minutes, I had my laptop open. I took a screenshot, extended the image, added some fire and trees and wind and whatever I did. And I think I even put fireworks in there, which is kind of weird. But and then I posted it and all of a sudden that picture that I posted, like when you like ask how something goes viral, I couldn't explain it to you because that's what happened. I posted it and then it was on like news outlets and on people's phone cases and it's on backpacks on eBay now. Like this low quality poster that I created, because it's not that big, like the actual JPEG's not that great, and it's on everything. So ever since that happened and they released the official poster, which looked almost exactly like my poster, I tweeted out and I said, because everybody was like, why are you guys copying a fan's poster? This is terrible. And I honestly explained to everybody, this was probably marketing's whole idea from the beginning. This is the money shot. Like, it's not like my idea is anything special or grand. And I tweeted that out because that's the honest truth. Like, this is probably the money shot that they were going to use anyways. And, you know, before that tweet that I did, Colin and JA were sharing a bunch of my fan posters saying that they loved it and all that kind of stuff, which was kind of interesting for directors to be so open about like fan art type thing. But I think it's because nobody else was really doing it. I don't know. And then when that time came, when they released the official poster, Colin tweeted out and was like, look, everybody, we didn't copy him. You know, he's right. This was marketing's plan the whole time. And then a few weeks later, I got a DM from Universal Pictures, the Jurassic World account, saying, hey, we love your stuff. Our talent, like Daniela Pineda, like loves your stuff. And Chris Pratt shared this. And Bryce likes your stuff. Like they were saying that all these like people in the movie have seen your stuff and we want you to make an official thing. And that's when I was just like, I was at work and I was just like, is this real? Like, what? And so about 20 minutes after that DM, I got on a call and it was like, they said, we want a poster with no people on it. We just want dinosaurs. And I was like, I'm good with people. You want only dinosaurs, which is like, obviously that sounds awesome, but it's really hard as a designer because it's like, how do you put only dinosaurs onto a poster without, you know, a Chris Pratt like hero shot, you know, type thing, or Bryce Dallas Howard cool looking away like Avengers type thing. But I think that's why so many people were like, when I officially released the poster, they were like, what, this looks like the Avengers but dinosaurs type thing. But that's actually what I was going for. It's kind of like a, not a joke, but like it was really big back then to do like Avengers style posters with like all the like the people looking to the left and people looking to the right and looking all epic. And I was like, these dinosaur renders remind me of, you know, Chris Pratt and like what's it called? I'm forgetting the name.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like Captain America. Like I was like, why can't I just make the dinosaur look the same? Do a Jurassic World version.
Yeah, like a dino poster. There's something that you tweeted out not too long ago that your tweet was, I hope one day we can stop calling these fan posters. And when I look at what you've done and the impact that it's had and the reach that it's gotten and the incorporation into the actual Jurassic World, I gotta say, I think that moment's already come for you, because your posters are at a different level. You are a fan who is also an incredible designer and a visionary for this series and this saga. And the things that you've done have really kind of supported that. In particular, and we want to talk about this next, when they were going through the first production of Dominion, and then they had the COVID breakout, or the COVID concerns that they were looking at, you put together an incredible collaborative effort. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit about what that was like.
I had surgery on my spine, and they cut me open from the back and front. So it was like, oh, not geez. Fun, not pretty. And for like the first week, I couldn't walk. I was like, there's no way I'm healing. This is crazy. I feel like I'm 98 years old and I can't, you know, walk type thing. And I was in bed and I was bored. And I was like, I knew that they were filming Dominion, or they were getting close to like finishing type thing. And I was like, what can we do that would be cool to, you know, I'm bedridden. I can't move. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything crazy. But what can I do that would make, you know, the cast and crew actually know that we're actually excited for the movie? It's not like, because there's so much, no matter what fandom you're a part of, the Jurassic fandom is actually one of my favorite fandoms, because usually all the people are very kind and they're not rude and all that kind of stuff. There's some, you know, there's some wild cards out there, but compared to the other fandoms, it's pretty great. And I was like, I'm just going to send a DM to as many people as I can. And it's the same paragraph. And I said, I want to record a 10-second video from each one of you guys, if you could record this for me, saying, you know, good luck filming Dominion. We're very excited. And I wasn't worried about like what age they were, because I know that's kind of a tricky thing. Like, what if you DM someone that's like under a certain age? And I didn't want to get in trouble. But I was like, you know what? I'm not asking anything for anything crazy. I'm just asking for, you know, tell them like good luck, tell them why you're excited, and we're excited for Dominion type thing. And I posted it, and I don't know how it got to Bryce Dallas Howard, but she reposted it on her account, and the Jurassic World account reposted it on their account too. And it was really, really nice, because there was like these kids that are like, we want to be paleontologists, and I think they were from a completely different country, and it was people all over the world. It wasn't just like America and all that kind of stuff. It was literally a Jurassic World type thing. And it was really special because it was all these different people saying all different things. And it worked out really well. You know, it's amazing that you can sit there on your phone and create something out of nothing type thing. So I hope people take something away from that too, is you don't have to spend a lot of money to make something, you know, fantastic. And I think, it was really important, because I think Bryce said that they were right at the end of filming, and it really, you know, not much was being talked about Dominion. So I think it gave them more of like a boost, like, oh shoot, like these people actually care and they're very excited type thing. So that was great for me and for everybody else.
It was a heartfelt thing too. It was a genuine heartfelt effort from everybody. And I got to say, I do not recall seeing the 10-second limit, so I apologize for going way over.
No, but what you said, I'm pretty sure I remember what you said, and it was pretty great. Wasn't it? Honestly, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, it worked out very well.
All right. I want to step away from Jurassic Park and the Jurassic World for a second, and I actually want to talk about a friend of ours. And that's Why Dinosaurs. You recently did a poster for Why Dinosaurs, and I'd love to hear about how that project went and your inspiration for not only the colors, but the dinosaurs involved, and just working with Why Dinosaurs. I believe that you actually got an interview with them as well, which is pretty cool. Why don't you talk about that?
So it was really exciting to work on that poster because Glenn McIntosh actually drew the dinosaurs that are on the poster itself. And I believe it was Glenn that did the artwork or the original artwork for the Indominus Rex. I'm pretty sure that's who it was. And just to be able to take his art, because I'm very good at taking, you know, photographs and things that already exist and then making them into something, you know, a lot more grand. I can't draw to save my life. If anybody asks, I'm not one of those poster designers that can draw and do crazy things. I'm more of like photography based or like asset based, where I can make everything look super pretty or cool. And the fact that I was able to take his dinosaurs, the adult Rex and the younger Rex, which represent, you know, Tony and his son, the guys that are doing Why Dinosaurs, it was great because they were like, we want a sunset, but we don't know what kind of sunset. So I was like, I'm going to find something that's like this purple hue, a little bit of orange. And I sent them a few options and they were like, we like this one, because there was one that was a little more orange, there was more one a little more like red, very Jurassic Park looking, and they chose the one that was more purple and I think like goldish looking or orange looking. And I was so excited to even be asked to make the poster for this film, this documentary that they're doing, and to be in the documentary too, which was some of the names that they have in this movie, which I'm not going to say even a single word, because there's some previews on their website if you want to go look at it. I think it's whydinosaurs.com. But I am so excited for the film. And there are some very interesting surprises in the movie too. So I think I can't wait to see who picks up the movie. I hope it's a Netflix. I hope it's a Disney Plus. I don't care who it is. But I hope that a lot of people can watch this documentary because it's so well done. And to be a part of it is very special. And to be able to do at least the initial poster for it. Who knows what's going to happen when, you know, someone picks it up, but it's just amazing. So I'm very grateful to them and I'm very excited for them too, because there's a lot of cool people in there as
we
well.
We actually just did a giveaway where we gave away one of your posters to our winner and it had a signed copy. So I believe that they're going to send it to you to get it signed as well before they send it off to our final winner, which is amazing.
I just took a picture with the poster itself because I was like, I need the Why Dinosaur shirt before I take a picture. So they sent me a picture, shirt, and I took a picture with the poster too. So I'm excited to share that with everybody in the next couple of days or so. So I'm very grateful to them and I'm very excited as well. Like they should be so proud. So I'm very excited.
They actually just snagged Colin Trevorrow. Trevorrow, did I say that right?
Yes,
they actually just snagged Colin Trevorrow for their film, which is pretty exciting. I think they're trying to attract a couple more big names, trying to shove as many people as in there as possible before they finish the film. Their deadline is coming up.
The Colin thing? I don't know.
We're all in the movie. So we're talking amongst ourselves, and this part's going to get cut out. So this is just us talking for a second.
I'm like, oh my God.
Tony was talking to us earlier today. He's like, by the way, we got Colin Trevorrow. I'm like, oh my God, you kidding me?
He was looking for this morning, and I was like, because I think in my interview, I bring up the same story where I talk about how Colin was very supportive of like my fan poster and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of cool that I say that, and then now he's actually going to be in the movie too. So I hope it like kind of ties together in some weird way. But
I hope that big name is able to get them some even cooler people, like Chris Pratt, someone,
you know, they have so many amazing people already that I'm like,
there's so many.
Yeah.
I mean, with some of the names that he's already got attached, I think those things will help him to get like a Spielberg involved. Because now that they can say, not only do they have Jack Horner and Dean Cundey, and they have you, and they have Colin, and they have Kat, and everybody who's involved in this now can really make something really special, so that Spielberg can be like, okay, of course they'll get in.
I'm in it because the tattoo film's done.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I've never seen that before. I guess that's so cool.
Why Dinosaurs filmed the entire thing. It took about an hour. It was
I'm surprised because it's extremely detailed.
I knew exactly what it was when you held it up. Like, there was no question about it.
Yeah, it's
so beautiful.
The new Jurassic World part of it was actually filmed on Vancouver Island. It's known for their plesiosaurs, elasmosaurs, and marine reptiles, which is cool. So my favorite dinosaur is, of course, the Spinosaurus.
My favorite dinosaur is, of course, the Spinosaurus. So that one you've probably seen.
Yes, that one is beautiful.
But my favorite creature is actually Albertolectus, which is a plesiosaurus, which is the type of plesiosaur.
That's so beautiful. I really want to get a Jurassic Park set. I go in between Life Finds a Way and the JG that was on all the old action figures. I cannot find myself to come to do it yet. I don't know. I'm like, I love tattoos and I love them on other people, and I'm terrified to get one myself. I'm like, deathly afraid. And
I really want Life Finds a Way
because it really goes with everything I believe in. So I'm like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the first one is the hardest, and then once you realize it's actually not that bad,
then you start getting more, and now I have four, and plans for more, so I'm going to be covered in dinosaurs by the time I'm 9 years old.
I think for me, the problem is because I'm a designer, fonts get old for me, so if I were to do Life Finds a Way in a really dumb font, I would be, I don't know. That's why I would have to do it in like some kind of Jurassic font or something like that that is obviously permanent, not going to change type thing. But
something evergreen, like papyrus. It'll just be good forever.
Papyrus? How about Comic Sans?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There's the designer face, you can tell.
I don't know. It's oh my god, pain is palpable.
My only advice for you for tattoos. Don't get a dinosaur that hasn't been fully discovered yet. Otherwise, you'll have a dinosaur that's scientifically inaccurate forever on your body.
I mean, it doesn't even look inaccurate. It just looks right to me. It just looks epic.
It looks like the Jurassic Park Spinosaurus, doesn't it? Yeah.
She's going to get the rest of the tail filled in, and then Nizar Ibrahim's going to autograph it, and then she's going to get tattoo over his handwriting. So that way we'll know that's on. Nima, I'm right there with you. All of my dinosaurs I wear on the inside, but I decided if I was ever going to get one, I was going to get the bones that we've collected from Stan, and then one of those black and white, the little Czech scale bars that they use out in the field. So the next time I'm out digging, I can be like, yeah, the dinosaur bone is this big, because I feel like it'll be practical. And then when it's like, I'm never at a loss for photographing where the things are. That's the plan, and I'm never going to act on it.
Sorry, I'm still laughing about the Nizar Ibrahim comment, because I'd probably do that, knowing me.
I think you should.
Laughing/tweeting him right now. So this is really the conversation going on. It's like, hey, can you sign this for me? Just a picture of your hand.
All right, moving on from that.
What kind of software do you use to create these things? Are you doing everything in Photoshop? Or you said you started doing stuff on your phone to make some of these things come together. Is that right?
I do a mixture of everything together. So I'll start in Photoshop, and then I'll go to Lightroom. I'll bring in something from Illustrator. I'll do a video effect on my phone. I'll do... what else do I do? I do a lot of stuff that is like... Maybe there's some... I'm not very good at moving graphics, so if I ever need like type to move or whatever it is, I go on my phone. But it's really Photoshop, Lightroom, and Illustrator are the three bad boys that I use for everything. And so everybody's like, are you using Procreate and all that kind of stuff? And I'm like, I can't draw, so no, I'm not using Procreate. I've been using Photoshop since I was like 13 years old, so that's my home.
Just this week you posted something that did have some motion to it. You put a billboard of Allosaurus as like a live one. This is on the Jurassic Your World account, of a billboard of like a roadside attraction. That was a really cool thing to see.
I'm doing this weird like viral campaign for Dominion, because I got bored and I was like, you know what can I do besides posters? And I was like, I'm gonna do a National Enquirer cover with Henry Wu on it, where it's saying like he's evil and like crazy and chaos. And I'm gonna do I haven't posted it yet, but by the time this comes out, I'm gonna post a Time magazine cover that says Age of the Dinosaurs again, ? And it's gonna have the T-Rex on it. It's like supposed to be like an in-world viral marketing campaign that's like, these are the things that are coming out during the time, or during right before Dominion type thing, where like Time magazine is featuring T-Rex, or National Enquirer is looking into like why Henry Wu, is it his fault type thing, or the Allosaurus thing is supposed to be like when you're driving through middle America and you find people with like, you know, those tiger like zoos and all that kind of stuff, where they're like illegally housing animals and like having people spend money to visit them type thing. So that's what I was basing it off of, was you know, what happens when people capture dinosaurs and do the same thing that we're doing now with tigers and, you know, big cats or whatever it is. It's really sad what they do, but I bet you they do it, that they would do the same thing with a Stiggy or whatever it is. They would do the same thing. So, and
that's what really made that resonate for me, because when I saw, I live in Florida and we have all these billboards for like, come see the world's largest gator and come check out all these live animals. And I looked at it and think, oh my God, this makes sense. This is something that would actually happen in the post Jurassic World universe. Like this is how it would happen in our real world.
And back and forth that makes so much sense. Chris likes dinos. I'm from Jurassic Outpost. He always has crazy ideas, and I think that one was his, where he was like, you need to make something where it's a middle America sign where they're selling, or they're like trying to, you know, pawn off an Allosaurus or some kind of dinosaur that you would not normally go pay to see in such a horrible place type thing, as opposed to obviously Jurassic World type thing. So he's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where that idea came from. And hopefully they like branch off of that and do a lot of that themselves and do a lot of like in-world callbacks too. I think at the bottom of my Henry Wu thing, I called out Kathy Bowman. And Kathy Bowman was the little girl in The Lost World. Who gets
the little girl from
the Compies.
I picked up on that Easter egg. I loved it.
She's played by Camille Bell, who's now obviously 32 or something now. And so I use a recent picture of her to make it seem like she survived, but you know, this is the aftermath of what she went through type thing. So I'm little callbacks like that. I feel like fans love that stuff.
That's so fantastic. One of the things that was a plot point in the original Jurassic Park novel was that Biosyn was really interested in turning the dinosaurs into pets, like taking them and shrinking them down and making them something that they could mass market and get around. So in your viral marketing that you're putting together, I can see someone putting up like a dog walker sign. But it's like, do you have a pet dinosaur that needs walking? You know, ceratopsians and stegosaurs only. No theropods larger than 2 feet, you know, or 25 pounds.
That,
and I think
that'd
be something that'd be kind of really cool. And then you call, Eric Kirby here.
And I think I might get
something.
Be fun.
Speaking of viral marketing campaigns, you're involved in quite a bit of charity work. Would you mind talking about the Jurassic Your World toy drive and your inspiration behind that?
Yeah, I mean, this was another one of those moments where I was bored. And I was like, my page is growing so quickly. I don't know how my thing, it grew so fast. And it's now over 100,000 followers. And I was like, you know what? I think at that time it was like 80 or maybe 90. And I was like, why? I could be like the rest of the Jurassic pages and just post photos or whatever it is. But that was a time when I was like, I want to, coming off of like making the great video for, you know, the cast of Dominion, I was like, I want to make this page something a little bit different. And I was like, I was doing a toy drive at work. And I was like, why can't I just do this for Jurassic World too? What's the difference? And that's when I created a link and I just asked everybody like donate. I think it was the smallest amount you could donate was $1, and you can donate as much as you want. And I was like, donate $1 or donate 50, whatever you want. And it turned into, there was a goal that I had, because I think my goal was 2,000. I can't remember what it was, but we hit the goal. And it was really fun because I worked with Collect Jurassic on it as well. and I gave him a portion of the money, and I took some of the money too, and I went to Target, and I had my dream Jurassic shopping spree that I've always wanted to do. And it was great because I knew that I wasn't keeping any of this stuff. It was all going to kids. And I think that was the best part, was coming home with a trunk, literally, actually not even a trunk, my whole car full of every Jurassic Mattel toy that was out at that time. And I even got like Barbies from Amazon and Claire Barbies and all that kind of stuff. And I have a picture with all of it together. And it's just like, if I would have seen this photo 20 years ago or 15 years ago, I think I would have died of, you know, envy of my own self, because I'm like, what are all these toys? And it was really great because I donated to, I think it was two charities or three charities. One of them, Laura's House, Ronald McDonald's House, and another one that I can't remember. But it was just nice to get a letter back from each one of those places saying, like, we never get dinosaurs. We always get cars. We always get Barbies. We always get, you know, maybe some Avenger stuff, some Star Wars stuff, but we never get dinosaurs. And I knew that was a thing because when we were doing our toy drive, nobody was bringing in Jurassic World stuff. And that's that picture right there that he's holding up.
This was such an incredible achievement of uniting an entire fandom around something that is just so genuinely a wonderful thing to do. And I've worked with a lot of the same charities you're talking about, and it's true. People think that if I need to give toys, or like even toys for tots and things like that, they give just, let me find a cheap toy, let me find something inexpensive that, you know, I can, here's another Frisbee, here's another, you know, make your own food kit and all that, like the Barbie dolls and things like that. But something that is really just considered boy toys or girl toys and these old archaic things, the Jurassic World figures are absolutely for everybody. And so you've got something that's really from the heart that's going to hopefully inspire some of these kids to do something really cool.
And dinosaurs were real, so they're actually learning from something. You know, it's not just, you know, Barbie yoga studio type thing. You know, it's a real thing.
Well, the Jurassic Park franchise is real a certain level.
Yes.
Right. Velociraptors.
At least they're learning like the names of the dinosaurs, and like maybe that will get them inspired to, you know, because from what I saw, I think one of my first toys was the Velociraptors from Jurassic Park, and my dad brought them from Japan. That's a whole nother story. But I don't think I would have that much interest in dinosaurs if my dad never gave me those action figures and we didn't watch Jurassic Park together. So I feel like just hopefully one of those kids, if out of how many got the toys, if one Velociraptor figure like changed their life, then that's all I need to know. Like, or I don't even need to know that. Like, it's pretty great that giving a child that doesn't have the, like, you know, some of them don't have the opportunity to get these things. And I want to do it again. I'm definitely going to do this this Christmas as well. And I think Instagram actually made it easier to donate. So I think it's going to be even better this year. So we'll see. We'll see.
What a great way to use your influencer power. That's just such an inspiration. And it's just such a fun success story. I actually used to work for a charity called Santa's Anonymous, where people would donate toys for kids. And it was always so amazing when people like you or people in all sorts of different communities donated such wonderful toys. And yeah, I really connected with that story. So I'm so happy to hear about it.
And it's going to happen again. I'm going to make it happen. So we'll see. It was harder.
Well, we will be promoting it on our page as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was harder this year because I couldn't donate to the kids like in person. It was just drop-offs and that kind of stuff. So I couldn't see like a reaction, and it's not like I need to see a reaction type thing, but you know, bringing a smile to a kid's face is like huge. Like you give them the smallest toy, they freak out. So the fact that we had like Indominus Rexes and all this other stuff was really special. And if Target does the same sale that they did last time, I think it was like buy two, get one free. We really did it at the right time because we bought two and got the third free type thing. So like our money went even further than it did. So it was really great to do it at that time. So I was like, yes, we're getting way more for more, way more bang for our buck type thing for the kids. So it was really great.
Target has a really giving foundation, and they do a lot of donations, and they're very philanthropic in their own right. And yeah. So now with the success of version 1.0, the next iteration of this, I'm sure that they would have some interest in supporting in any way that they can. You know, somebody stateside's got to get a Gasosaurus somewhere, and it might as well be for a good cause.
Oh my gosh, right? Some of those things are so hard to get, and I don't think I ever got a Gasosaurus, so there's that. The green one.
They
from
crossed
the
Atlantic. Yeah.
We don't have Targets in Canada, so I get to watch with envy at all of you people in the United States going to Target and picking up your dinosaurs. Yeah.
You have Toys R Us. You still have functional Toys R Uses, and you've got the ability to go. You've had the Spinosaurus out on your shelves for 6 months now. We just got ours last week.
I am always disappointed when I go to Toys R Us and their dinosaur section is like a single panel. And I'm just like, really, what is this?
Mexico is actually where it's at. Mexico has a wonderful selection of Jurassic World toys. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
I need to go to Mexico. Because apparently they have all the hard
stuff
together.
So close.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of Toys R Us's down here, but they're all Spirit Halloweens. So, which has a limited Jurassic line as well, but you know, it's not. So Nima, what are things you're working on right now? What are the new projects you have coming down the line?
I'm going to be doing more of those viral Dominion stuff for as long as Universal is not like, what are you doing type thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing. I do fan posters as much as I can just to keep up with design. And it's been fun doing movie posters for like music artists too, which is something I always wanted to do before the whole Jurassic thing. Cause I love Britney Spears and I love all those other like pop stars and that kind of stuff. And I used to make movie posters for the music videos and now I'm doing it like for real. So hopefully more of those. I have a couple of projects with Universal that I cannot say a single word about, but okay. I'm very excited for those as well, and we'll see where it goes after that. I hope that there's more and more, but I just have to keep working at it, I think, and we'll see where we go with that.
Well, you built a solid foundation, and you've inspired a lot of hope in people to kind of see these things that you're doing, and you've taken the fans' view and you've turned it into something really special. So I really appreciate you, what you've done so far, and taking the time to speak with us here today. So, Kat, do you have any other questions?
That pretty much sums it up for me. So you are currently the owner of several highly influential social media accounts. What are they? How can people find you if they want to learn more about what you do, Neems?
I run The Movie Poster Guy on Instagram. I run Jurassic Your World on Instagram as well. And then my Twitter is also not The Movie Poster Guy. It's just Movie Poster Guy on Twitter. And I think if you want to follow me, I'll always have good content. It's never repetitive and it's always new. I try to create new graphics and new videos and try to hype up, you know, the Camp Cretaceous cast, which some actually come on and do interviews with me, which is really exciting. And, you know, I try to keep it within the Jurassic and positive realm. And I think that's what's worked. It's just people, no spoilers, you know, nothing right. like that. I try to keep it like family friendly, but also pretty heavy on the lore as well. So hopefully people enjoy it.
I saw an interview that you did a while back with Chip Kidd, who actually yes. designed the original Jurassic Park. The hold on a second.
Keep your fan.
He'll cut.
He's designed.
Chip Kidd. Yeah. And then the movie poster that came out as a result after that. And so what was it like getting to speak with him and learn about kind of his process on things?
I don't even know how or why that interview even happened. I think I DM'd him and I was just like, "Hi, you designed one of the
most." I mean, that's how this happened.
All time, and I'm a graphic designer too. I would love to interview you, and it just happened. It was during quarantine time, so everybody was home and not doing anything. So I think he was in the same boat, and he was so kind and amazing to just even spend 20 minutes with me answering all my nerdy questions. And I asked him what it's like to have his logo on like underwear and boxers and on the side of cars in the movies. And, you know, the Jurassic logo is right up there with the Apple logo because you see it and you know exactly what it is. So he was so cool. And I'm very grateful that that even happened. So there's been a lot of Jurassic moments in my life that have, if you would have told me if any of them would ever happen 20 years ago, I would not believe you at all. And it's just been a lot of fun. So I'm very grateful.
It's definitely been an amazing journey that you've had. And I'm very grateful that you've been able to take us along with you and for the last few years, through your designs and even here tonight for our conversation. So Nima, Neems, the movie poster guy, thank you so very much for being here with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm like, this is so exciting to just let it all out, let all that Jurassic love out. So I'm very appreciative to you guys as well. So thank you so much for having me. And hopefully we can talk again. That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go live. So
this was your first podcast, but it won't be your last. You were an absolutely great guest. So thank you so much for joining us, Nima.
Thank you. See you guys later.